The Unseen Realm is one of the most revealing books that I've ever read. But Michael Heiser, he revolutionized, I believe, some of the scriptures that we read and we bypass in the Bible. Of course, like you saw in the book, The Unseen Realm, which is the main topic of his book. But the subtitle, if you see here, it's Recovering the Supernatural Worldview of the Bible.
Yeah. Welcome back to ISO Insights. I'm your host, Matthew Foley, and today we have a guest we've had on once before. I'm so glad to have her back on, Pastor Yvette Gallinar. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here with you again today.
And today, one of the things we're going to be discussing is a common interest that Pastor Yvette and I have, which has to do with one gentleman's teaching. He's with the Lord now, but his name is Dr. Michael Heiser, and you can still find a lot of what he teaches through his books online, and he has an institute he's left behind where they talk about a lot of similar things that he talked about in his books. So one of the big subjects in this book is something, a theological concept called the divine counsel. So Pastor Yvette, can you tell me a little bit about what you know in Dr. Heiser's work and with this particular subject?
Yeah, I actually pulled out the book,
yeah,
The Unseen Realm. And as you can tell, it's one of those situations where you just highlight and scratch your head and go in the Bible and dig a little deeper. But yeah, The Unseen Realm is one of the most revealing books that I've ever read. And I have read many books regarding the Word of God. But Michael Heiser, I have to say that I prayed for him when he was sick and, you know, he went to be with the Lord a couple years ago, had pancreatic cancer. And he revolutionized, I believe, some of the scriptures that we read and we bypass in the Bible. And he talks, of course, like you saw in the book, The Unseen Realm, which is main topic of his book. But the subtitle, if you see here, it's Recovering the Supernatural Worldview of the Bible.
Yeah.
And so he goes into the supernatural aspect of the Bible, which, like you and I have talked in the past about, Matthew, where many times when we read the Bible, we fail to see past what we're reading. Yeah. We fail to see that supernatural realm of the Bible. And I believe that when we do get into the supernatural aspect of the Bible, of the Word of God, then we can better understand certain scriptures, why God did what he did, why God said what he said. And then if you go to the New Testament, then we try to understand as best as possible why Jesus went to the places that he went to and why Jesus said some of the things that he said and proclaimed some of the things that he said. It had to do with the unseen realm or the supernatural realm. I hope that makes sense, but yeah, that's basically it.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So one of the things that, you know, we talked about last time you came on the podcast, the Nachash and this kind of, you know, ambiguous the terms that the Hebrew language was using to talk about the serpent in the garden, and maybe he's more than a serpent, and it's hinting towards some kind of a being that Dr. Heiser mentions in his books, for instance. Well, if somebody in that time period in that area of the world would have known this isn't just a normal snake. This is some kind of, and he uses the word broadly, but like divine being. So a lot of people are going to hear that. They're going to immediately like, oh, what is he talking about? Are you trying to say like the devil's like a divine being like God or something? Could you clarify what's meant by that term divine?
Yeah, it's divine basically is a supernatural being. It's a spiritual being. It is a being. Many people intertwine that with an angelic being, for example. But it is a being. It is if you look at the fact that Lucifer himself was the angel of light, you know, and he had this position and he had this power. And of course, we know the story. Those of you that follow the Word of God and understand that he pride came in, and he wanted the worship to be for him, and he wanted to be like God, and that wasn't going to happen, of course, because Yahweh wasn't about to let that happen. But yeah. He was a being, and there's many scriptures throughout the Word of God where it actually describes what Lucifer actually looked like prior to his fall. And so he was a divine being, if you will, and that's when you kind of go into as well the and I'm sure that we're going to talk about this as well, but that's when you get into these created beings, because he was a created being, right? And so when you look at the fact that here is Yahweh, here is Creator Almighty God, and he created these other beings. And, you know, Michael Heiser explains it so well in his book, and he calls it the divine council. Why? Because they are beings that he created, and he created them to be holy. And you know, maybe it's going a little bit off the trail here, but he created angelic beings, if you will, with free will. Mm-hmm. Because he didn't just create angelic beings or these divine beings so that they would be robots and worship him and that was it, like, you know, all the days of their lives. No, he created these divine beings with free will as well, but for the purpose of as his divine counsel. If you look at, for example, Job describes that as well, that it's one of those scratch your head moments when you read the first chapter in Job, right? And you go, what is God? What? Wait a minute. There's this divine counsel, and God is talking to that, and God is talking to Satan here. And what is Satan? You know, Satan can come and go and be before the presence of God. Well, yes, you know, this is something that did occur. Yeah. So yeah, I think that as he explains it so very eloquently in many of his teachings and in this book as well, is that these are divine beings, sons of God, B'nai Elohim, you know, and it goes into he goes into all of that. I see you're bringing something up, which is great. Can you go?
Yeah. Just like you said, I was doing that Job just to show what you were referring to there.
You go.
Satan attacks Job's character. So it says, now there was a day when the sons of God, the sons of Elohim, B'nai Elohim, came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came among them. Satan is his Hebrew. But there you have it. Like literally this council at that time comes before God and they're talking to him. So just like you said, very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so for me, it like really opened up my understanding of, if you will, of the Bible. And it opened up my understanding of a lot of what happened in Genesis, for example. We've talked about the fact that Genesis is one of my all-time favorite books from the Bible. But that kind of like sets the stage, if you will, for everything else when it comes to the book of Genesis. So it really was one of those revelatory moments for me in reading The Unseen Realm.
Wow. So when we break down this idea of we know God created angels. We know some angels did not do as he desired. And we know that they are on the earth right now with us. But we also, I know Dr. Heiser will refer to different passages as being some of the most compelling when he talks about this. And he went back to the original Hebrew is what his whole argument was. So, for instance, he talks about something that Jesus quoted in the New Testament. It was in John 10:34. But when the Pharisees were confronting him and saying, oh, do you claim to be equal with God? What are you saying? And he quotes Psalm 84, which if you don't mind, I'll pull that up right here. Because I know that you'll definitely have something to speak into this, just to what Dr. Heiser teaches. But Psalm 84, a psalm of Asaph, and the original Hebrew is going to be super enlightening, because that's what he points out. But God stands in the congregation of the mighty. Well, the mighty is El. You can see the footnote here, El. Yeah. Which is God in Hebrew. So it's actually God stands in the congregation of God. So it probably is talking about the Lord there, but it's his congregation.
Right.
Who is the congregation? He judges among the Elohim, the gods. So it's right. What you're talking about there. So he talks about him and he's, what is he saying to him? You're doing all these bad things. So you said they were meant to be holy, but it's almost like they're ruling over the nations.
Yeah.
Like, so where does that come from? Where is the concept coming from where it says, and I'll go back to it if you want me to, I just wanted to ask you here, where does that concept coming from? I know he points to Deuteronomy 32, but how do we connect that with the ancient world? Yeah, this is something we've talked about before, but how did other pagan cultures, how would they have looked at this whole divine council thing?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. What was the version that you were reading off of just now?
New King James Version.
Okay, so if you look at it in the ESV, and I had pulled it up here because I knew we were going to talk about this subject. If you look at it in the ESV, it says Psalm 82, verse 1, God has taken his place in the divine council.
Wow, there you go.
In the ESV version. Yeah. In the midst of, what does it say there?
In the midst of the gods, he holds judgment.
Exactly. In the midst of the gods, he holds judgment. And you know, that sort of things. And then if you look at verse, I have it highlighted here. You can highlight it there in your screen since you have it up, but look at verse 5, right? They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. Wait, where are they? Verse 6, I apologize. I said, you are gods, sons of the Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, like men, you shall die and fall like any prince. Now, if you look at that, you go, well, wait a minute. Some versions actually have, reference here. It's from the Faith Life Study Bible. I don't know if you're familiar with that. I have the Logos software, the Logos app.
I know Logos. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really, really good. Shout out to the people from Logos because they do a great job of that. I know that Heiser was a part of, I believe, developing that. So I use that, but the Faith Life Study Bible, can I read this real quick this is referencing Psalm 82, but then if you go back to the connect the dots, I know you and I have talked about connecting dots before, but if you connect the dots then with Deuteronomy 32, but watch what the Faith Life Study Bible has to say, because it explains it like this. It says, English translations disagree in their renderings of a key phrase in Deuteronomy 32:8. While many translations opt for sons of Israel, others read sons of God. The difference reflects a divergence found in manuscript for the Hebrew text of Deuteronomy 32. The traditional Masoretic, did I pronounce that right?
Masoretic.
I'm Latin, so expound on those T's. Masoretic, yes. Texts use sons of Israel, while the Dead Sea Scrolls, in agreement with the Septuagint, the ancient Greek translation of the Old Testament, reads sons of God.
Yeah.
The textual evidence seems to favor sons of God. Not only does the reading make more sense chronologically with respect to the Babel event and the subsequent call of Abraham, from whom Israel comes, it has ample ancient textual support. So the reason I read that is, you know, in what you were trying to ask me, that what ends up happening here is a lot of people in their reference Bible, they tackle that and they say, well, it doesn't say sons of God, it says sons of Israel, right? And it's talking about mere men. It's not talking about other gods or little g gods. Well, no, it is talking about these angelic falling beings.
Yeah.
And what happens here is that these beings do end up rebelling against God. And you can read that throughout, obviously, the Genesis 6 episode, for example. You could see another rebellion there in Genesis 11 with the Tower of Babel. But if you look at, you know, Genesis 3:15, God pretty much prophesied this from the very beginning, you know, that when the enemy came to deceive Adam and Eve, and he prophesies what's going to happen.
Wow.
So I mean, I don't know if that answers your question, but
It perfectly, because I'll tell you, in fact, I will pull up exactly what you just showed here.
Yeah.
Because what you showed was Deuteronomy 32. And yeah. In that passage, it says it so clearly. And like you said, in the Masoretic text, it's changed to the sons of Israel. But yes. Here in the older manuscripts and in the Septuagint, which attests them, like you mentioned, it says here, talking about God and the nations.
Yes.
In verse 8, when the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, when he divided mankind, when did that happen? The Tower of Babel, when God divided their language. Well, what happened? He said he divided mankind. He fixed the borders of the people. So this is talking about national borders.
Yes.
When God scattered peoples all over the world. And then what is it? According to the number of the sons of God, the Bnei Elohim, the sons of God. Yeah. So that's referring, like you said, to the council.
Exactly. And
what is their job? Their job is to rule over the different nations.
Right.
Which is crazy, because this isn't the book of Enoch. This is Deuteronomy 32.
Yes.
So if God's saying that, that must be what Paul's, wouldn't you agree that those are the principalities and rulers that Paul refers to?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you can pull that scripture verse back up, I want to make a point here with regards to that scripture. You see where, okay, so when the Most High, like you said, gave the nations their inheritance, when he divided mankind, he fixed the borders of the people according to the numbers of the sons, number of the sons of God. But look at the rest of that.
Mm.
But the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob, his allotted heritage. So what happens? And this is what one of the main things I believe in my point of view, because of what happened with me personally, is that this is where Michael Heiser was really influential in my life and his teachings, because that you see that plain as day, right?
Yeah.
In scripture.
Yeah.
But if you don't really understand the behind the scenes, like you and I've talked about before, then we bypass that and we'll take it the way it reads in certain versions, sons of Israel, or take it to read sons of God. Okay, well, that means we're all sons of God, humanity. This is human beings. But if you look at it from the perspective of the divine counsel, here is God assigning the sons of God, the Bnei Elohim, over the nations, right? What ends up happening here is that they get corrupted. They rebel against God, right? And so God, in a way, and this is how I explain it in my own words, God pretty much says, you know what, guys? I'm kind of done with you. Mm. You know, here you are accepting worship. Here you are allowing the nations to worship you. When I am the creator. I am God. And I created you guys, by the way. And so God says, I'm going to be done with you for a time.
Mm.
But I am going to go ahead and take this nation. Okay. Because if you think about it, Israel was not even born yet.
Yeah.
The nation of Israel had not been born yet. Okay, so God is speaking here saying, you go about, you do what you want to do, but I'm going to get a nation and they're going to be my portion. Mm-hmm. And God, and then enter, of course, Abraham, right? God calls Abram out of Ur, you know, which again was one of those pagan nations because they were doing all sorts of, you know, evil against God. And so God pulls out Abram out of this wicked nation, and he creates the nation of Israel to call as his own. But God is so merciful, and God is so faithful, and God is so awesome and omnipotent and omniscient, and he's so wonderful that he wasn't fully done with the nations. And then all of this happens when we read about in the Old Testament, everything that happens with Israel. And of course, you know, they get they go with the culture and go with the flow of culture, and they go into other false gods, and they reject God. And my goodness, we just finished Jeremiah recently in our church, and boy, that's a revelatory book in and of itself, with Jeremiah and everything that Israel was doing and Judah and all that. But then you fast forward to the New Testament, and this is where we get the culmination of it all. And God really wasn't done with the nations entirely, was he?
Nope.
So this is where we get, when we come into the New Testament and we know what Jesus did with his death and his, you know, at the cross, his death and his resurrection, and he brings the nations to himself as well through Jehovah, Jesus, I should say. I was going to say Yeshua HaMashiach, right? Mm. He brings all of that together. And this is the culmination. And I know I'm not doing it any justice by explaining it the way that I'm explaining it, because it would take a long, long time. That's why I would suggest you get the book. but this is how I understood his work, and what really brought light, you know, for me, is that this whole council, these sons of God that God created, they went ahead and they corrupted the nations, and God took Israel as his own, right? And then Israel goes through the things that they go through. But in the end, God always meant for Israel and the nations to be his portion, right? And so there's a lot more in that, but I don't want to take up all the time to...
It's amazing, because when I read this, you can imagine, all right, then you go in the New Testament. Well, the Pharisees, they say to Jesus, like I said earlier, are you making yourself to be equal with God?
Yeah.
And then he says to them, he quotes that psalm. Well, if it's talking about this divine council, what is he? Because I've always been confused why he quoted that. Like, right. How does that apply to the situation? But then you realize, wait a minute. He calls himself the Son of God.
Yes.
Well, we think, well, men are made in God's image.
Right.
But what about the scripture that says you've been made a little lower than the Elohim?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's a psalm that says God loves man, but he's made him a little lower than the Elohim. Well, yeah, a lot of people believe that means he's made him a little lower than God, but in Hebrews, it actually translates Elohim. It quotes that, and it says mm-hmm. angelos in Greek, mm-hmm. which is angels.
Mm-hmm.
So it interprets Elohim in that case as it's talking about the divine council. Human beings in authority in the world have ended up a little under this council.
Mm-hmm.
But what's crazy is Jesus comes and he says, John says he is the only begotten, is what we say in English often, but it's monogenes in Greek, which means one of a kind.
Yes.
He is one of a kind. I love Jesus, man. King of kings. And so he shows up on the scene, and suddenly demons start flailing on the ground.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh my gosh, it's him. Who are they seeing? The divine council that was with God, just like in the Kings, and when it talks about Micaiah, the prophet, seeing into the divine council, and God saying, who will go forth and beguile Ahab for me? He's talking to this divine council.
Yes, he is.
He's saying, what spirit will go forth and do this for me?
Yes.
Then that same council in Daniel sees the son, one called the Son of Man, approaching the Ancient of Days, and it is the pre-incarnate Christ.
Yeah.
Like these beings knew who Jesus was before he manifested himself. So when he showed up on the scene, they're getting their footstool kicked out from under them. They know they're about to lose the authority God gave them over the nations.
That's right.
Because he says, I've overcome the world. Jesus is conquering all the rulers of, I'm about to get excited, man.
I know, you preach on, brother.
I'm telling you, it blew my mind because it made sense of these sons of God.
Sure.
And even in the Psalms, you hear the phrase heavenly host is used to refer to them.
Yeah.
So with that being said, I'm going to throw out a story and then throw it back to you as we're headed towards closing. I was listening to, it was a video on Graham Hancock. He talks about the pyramids a lot. He's British. And he mentions, he's not a Christian. And so on his YouTube channel, he had a gentleman who was taking psychoactive drugs in South America. I'm trying to remember what nation he was in. It may have been Peru, but he was in the jungles. And, you know, before the Catholic Church came into South America, there were different pagan religions that were centered around a very, it's kind of crazy because all of them had a similar mythology.
Yeah.
But one of the things that they believe, they had the name, some people theorize it's a different name for the same deity, Quetzalcoatl, and then I can't remember the other name, one of them, but there's the Inca and the Aztec and the Maya. And one of the different cultures had the name Viracocha, as their divine being. And it was like this regional ruler over the nation. And he was depicted from hundreds and thousands of years going back as this head with these snakes or tentacles coming out of it. Really freaky. But this guy on Graham Hancock's YouTube channel is being interviewed, and he's a Western, like he's a European man. And he came down there and he starts taking psychoactive drugs and like ayahuasca. And he says he sees this. He didn't know anything about the mythology of the local people. And he sees this face with these tentacles coming to him. And it tells him, I'm Viracocha. And here's what I want you to do. People no longer worship me in this region, and I want you to start a new age conference in this area because I want to bring you enlightenment. So he says that to him. Here's what's crazy about that. Doesn't that look exactly like what you just described? That there's these beings that are principalities, and the reason they even have the authority they do, just like Jesus said to Pilate, is because God originally gave them a job. They had a job to do, and it was to rule over that nation spiritually.
Yes.
But then they were perverted, maybe by Satan himself, and they started wanting the people to worship them. So how does that connect today with people that run after UFOs? New Agers, what are your thoughts? I think that Dr. Heiser, when I read this, I was like, this can really transform some people's worldview here.
Yeah, and you make a great point. And I have to say that nowadays, this whole ayahuasca and taking mushroom and taking all this kind of stuff in order to get to that level or that realm, right, is top of mind for so many people of conversation with, there are so many podcasts out there and people are completely okay with this. They have no idea that what they're doing is playing with fire.
Yeah.
They're literally playing with fire. They're playing with these entities that, like you said, this gentleman who had this experience, because I don't think it was just a vision. I think this person and these people that are taking these drugs are doing just that. They are interacting in the realm where these beings are, right? And I mean, if you think about it, what this, what was the name of this god? With
Viracocha is what he's
Viracocha,
called.
You know, giving him all sorts of instructions, again, to lead people away, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that...
It's
crazy.
Exactly.
And I think that the same thing is happening with all of this whole mess with the UFOs and the what's the other word they're using? UPAs? UAPs, whatever. Yeah. UFOs and all this kind of stuff. Now, mind you, we can't make a blank statement and say, oh, that's demonic all the time. Because guess what? It's not necessarily just demonic. You're talking about now these other entities, these rulers and these authorities, because remember, you're talking about hierarchies, and that's where all these realms come in. So it all connects in that aspect. And I think that there's a lot of I think a lot of misinformation is taking place in those realms where you have these deities trying to confuse people in order to steer them away from the truth. And that truth obviously is that Yahweh is God, the one and only true God.
Hallelujah. And as a warning also to anybody that's getting involved in those things, like I heard Alex Jones and he really needs the Lord. So if you hear his name, pray for him.
Yeah.
He needs God to help. He knows about the Lord, but he really needs God to transform his life.
Hmm.
But I feel for him because I do think God's used him in many ways. But he was on Tim Pool's podcast. I don't know if you know who Tim Pool is, but he's kind of a news guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he has all his friends, and they kind of like, you know, marijuana, and they're kind of dabble. They like to dabble with meditation, sure, psychoactive drugs. And he gets on there and he says, listen, you don't want to mess around with these South American deities and all this.
Yeah.
He says, because you know what happens when you start, this is crazy. He says, these New Agers that start to see aliens and visions, and they're seeing the same being come up. He said, first they tell you that they have enlightenment. Mm-hmm. Then they tell you, they start asking you to do things, and they start creating a religion. And then once they have a religion, they start asking you to do human sacrifice and bloodletting. And he goes down this, and they start freaking out like, okay, you're crazy. But he's telling them why, when Cortez came to South America, he saw things that horrified him.
Yeah.
He came from Catholic Spain. So he's never seen the kind of horrors of paganism.
Yeah.
But it's so similar to the Canaanite religion God drove out before Israel.
That's right.
These are false beings. They tell you what sounds good up front, but the deeper you go, the darker it gets.
Yes.
And that's why you want to reject it, like you said, and know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And you know, there's nothing new under the sun, right?
Yeah.
So this, they have no creative abilities. God is the only creator God. So they repeat the same story. It just looks a little, it's repackaged, if you will.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. Or this man is absolutely right with what he said. And again, people are messing with fire, and they're entering into a realm where they should never, ever.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, though, I should say there are a lot of people that have come out of those new age, you know, and those drugs and things like that. And they have testified of how they came out of that and how Jesus appeared to them. And Jesus said, I am the way, I'm the truth and the life. And so now they expose what really does go on. And so it's very, very interesting topic, though, to say the least. But going back to the unseen realm and the council, it all stems from that. If you don't understand that, then you really don't understand everything else pertaining to the Word of God.
Man, I get excited because I think about that verse that says, he has given him a name above every other name.
Mm-mm.
And it is only by the name of Jesus that you can be saved. What did he say? What did it say? Seated far above every power, every throne, and every name that's named
is
the name of Jesus Christ.
That's
Hallelujah.
Right.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much for coming on and talking to me about this. I get excited about it. It really has enlightened me with a lot of Old Testament passages.
Yeah.
But can you leave all of our listeners with just one last thing out of this subject that they can take home to the bank?
I would echo your words. You know, Jesus is Lord, you know, and if you are listening to this podcast and maybe you have steered away, or you, maybe you grew up in the church, and there's a lot of church hurt out there, and people are talking about it constantly, and people have gone away from the truth. I invite you to come back to Jesus. And if you're listening to this, and maybe you've tried those drugs, or maybe you've seeked out other religions or other rituals or other ways to try to get to God, the only way that you can do that is through Jesus Christ, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. There's none other but him. So I would encourage you to seek out a Bible-believing church, one that doesn't compromise the Word of God. Seek out podcasts like these that will enlighten you. This is the true enlightenment, is the Word of God, not all these other entities. And get back with, you know, your strong foundation in Christ. And that's the only way that you can live and walk out this life with victory, to be honest.
Hallelujah. Man, I received that, and I'm sure everybody who's listening does as well. Pastor Yvette, thank you so much for coming on ISO Insights.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Well, you guys, this has been a great episode, and I pray over you that you'll be blessed in Jesus' name. And we'll catch you next time on ISO Insights.